going on, man? It's your boy C. Marty Fit here. We in the behind the scenes of the podcast. I know y'all been wondering, where you doing this at? Y'all get a close-up look. You know, this is what we doing before the episode. We getting the microphones ready, the headphones. Got my outline on the phone, buttons, just making sure everything working. So we can give y'all this content. So we can educate, entertain, talk a little shit. And y'all know this is the best business podcast ever. So welcome to the behind the scenes. Stay tuned.
Hey, live on a Tuesday. What's going on, y'all? It's your boy C. Marty Fit, and we back here with another episode on the Less Brunches, More Crunches podcast. Yes, sir. He's back in the building. I know y'all wondering, what on a Tuesday? What's he doing live on a Tuesday? Listen, man, we do this show whenever, wherever, and I'm going to surprise y'all sometimes, you know? And your favorite content creator, he probably wouldn't have done an extra show.
Nope.
Your favorite trainer, he probably wouldn't have done an extra show.
Nope.
Your favorite podcaster, he probably wouldn't have done an extra show.
Nope.
Because y'all know we not lazy here. Y'all know we the hardest working podcast out, the hardest working fitness podcast out, and all of the above. And it is what it is. And you know I'm gonna tell the truth, and you know I gotta go. So we got a little different episode today. So just sit back, tune in, a little bit of education, a little bit of fun. Y'all know how we do here. So I'm not gonna talk too much because we got a lot to talk about tonight. So I'm just gonna hit these comments real quick and acknowledge the fam. Steph, what's going on?
Welcome to the show.
Jenny said, live on a Tuesday. Hey, what's up, Jenny?
Welcome to the show.
Michael Hawkins said, here we go. What's up, Michael Hawkins?
Welcome to the show.
Coach Pope Fitness, salute. You messing up my podcast schedule. Hey, man. Hey, I'm sorry, man. Hey, look, you don't know what to expect from me. That's how I like it. What's going on, Mamba Ross? And Stop the Cap, what's going on?
Stop the Cap.
Catching you early. What's going on, brother? All right, man. So listen, let's get straight to it. We got a special guest today. All right. This guy has been in network marketing for 42 years. He's one of the top marketers in network marketing. This guy has been in bench press competitions. And he's very active till this day. He's written 4 books. No, I'm not done yet because this is a special guest. He's written 4 books. He's a cold plunge advocate. And what makes this guy unique is he is a vegan. So if I have any vegans on the show, you got a guy who's been in the game for a long time. We go ahead and ask him the questions today. And with all that being said, let's welcome the guest. John, what's going on, brother? Welcome to the show. Shout out to John Salder. How you doing today, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing great. That thank you so much for having me. I love your introduction, by the way. That's a lot of fun.
Hey man, I try my best. Appreciate that. So real quickly, man, you know, I gave you the introduction and you're in Texas, correct?
Yes, sir. Dallas.
Outside of Dallas. Okay. Or in Dallas. Okay. Cool. All right, man. How you feeling today?
I'm doing great. I had a great workout real early this morning and another one late this afternoon and a lot of work in between. A couple other podcasts that I was on today and just staying busy, you know, for like most 64-year-old guys, you know, I'm on podcasts, I'm building social media, I'm working out. I mean, and I'm not, my list of stuff is getting longer to do as I get older. Some of my friends are retired. I'm like, what the heck do you guys do all day, man? I'm growing. I'm green and growing as opposed to brown and dying at this stage of my life. And I'm loving it.
Man, I see, that's what I want to be like when I'm 64. That's the name of the game right there. You know, you never retire. You just get better and get wiser and keep doing stuff. So that's an inspiration right there. So I'm glad you said that. So real quick, man, we know this is a fitness podcast, right? But a lot of people don't understand that the foundation of being successful in business or your career is fitness. So I got a question for you. You can expound. Why do high achievers prioritize fitness?
Oh, well, yeah, it's a great question. But first thing is, you know, the brain has to be stimulated. And when you train, you're getting more blood to your brain, number one.
Absolutely.
Number two, in recovery, if your recovery includes, you know, cold water therapy like mine does,
yep.
If it includes red light therapy like mine does, if it includes saunas like mine does, or whatever you're doing, once again, you know, the things that you're recovering with are also feeding the brain and making yep. you feel better. And then when you go to work, whatever your work is, and my work's always been mental, honestly, you know what I mean? Like I'm not out, you know, banging nails for a living like my father was. Yeah. But yeah, it just makes you feel better. And I don't know anybody that achieves anything in business
yep.
you know, who doesn't train heavily.
Yeah. Anyway. So that, well, one thing I want to say, I'm trying to get into the cold plunge and the cold tubs, because I hated that stuff in college. So I'm more of a stretch yoga mobility guy, but I'm trying to get out of my comfort zone a little bit. So, but yeah, I wanted to say one thing about as far as business. A lot of people think when you reach a certain level of success, now it's time to chill. When you see the money going up in your bank account, they think it's time to just relax. They don't think diabetes can still come after the money hits the bank account, right? The diabetes don't care about the millions. The diabetes don't care about how many sales you got, right? So what do you have to say to anybody who thinks it's time to just stop putting their foot on the gas and just relax?
No. As we get older, resistance training becomes more important.
Absolutely.
When I was younger and competing in judo and sambo, which is Russian wrestling, and jiu-jitsu, and earned black belts in both judo and jiu-jitsu,
yes,
which makes me in a rare group at that. I trained heavily, but I also
oh, yeah.
the heck out of my body. I mean, my hips, my shoulders, I've had multiple surgeries. As I've gotten older, and of course, you know, to do that, you got to prepare. You got to be in the gym. You got to be lifting. You got to be training.
Yep.
Be running, you got to be on the mat, obviously, more so than anything.
Yep.
But as you get older, your training changes.
Yep.
Obviously, it's not as heavy. You can't quite do the volume that you did when you were younger, but it becomes more important. The stretching that you mentioned becomes that
Man.
Much more vital. You've got to stretch. But you got to get that synovial fluid to release. And you
Absolutely.
Got to get that to your joints. Otherwise, you know, you wind up like a lot of people my age that they're either crippled, they're on walkers, they're in wheelchairs in some cases. You know, you got to keep training. I mean, this is the time, if you're my age group, right? And hopefully you're not. Hopefully you're all nice and young. But at the end of the day, you know, this time comes for everybody. If we're lucky, you know, if we live this long.
Absolutely.
This time. And I mean, I train at my gym in McKinney, Texas, that I train on the weekend. We only train there mm-hmm. once a week. It's really not even a gym. It's really a storefront, but we've got about 1,500 pounds of weights there. And we've got some of the top bench pressers in the world that come
Man.
From England, that come from Finland, that come from Houston, Oklahoma.
This is your gym?
It's a guy named Mike Womack. It's actually
okay.
his gym that he owns. And Mike's developed a lot of gear for powerlifting.
Gotcha.
You know, there's five of us over the age of 60 and two guys over the age of 70s that are still able to put up 400 plus, and in one case over 60.
That's crazy.
It's, you know, with gear, by the way, with gear. Let me give that caveat for those of you out there, you know, want to challenge.
That's still impressive. Still impressive.
It's incredible. And one guy's 75. He had open heart surgery. This guy, Sean Finnegan, he had open heart surgery about 4 years ago. He's recovered from that. He's lost some weight. But you know, he's still able to put up over 500. Now, he was the first guy in history over 600 over the age of 60. So he knows what he's doing and how to train. But you know, he had this major surgery that he came back from, and he's back lifting and just really impressive.
You know what, man? I'm big on exposure. And I'm glad you told me that, John, because I didn't even know people were still doing that at that age. So now I gotta you know, I already planned on keeping my game up at that age, but now the bar is higher now.
Well, I'll tell you what, higher. You got a neighbor there, Bill Gillespie, that there was a meet in Houston a couple years ago that I was at, and I never got up to these numbers, never wanted to, but Bill was over 60. He was the strength coach at one time at Liberty University there in Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
And he was with the Seattle Seahawks. But Bill was 60. He's a little older than me. He's probably 65 now. But he was 61 or 62. He benched over 1,000. So,
yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
One of 8 or 9 guys who's done it. And like everything, like the
four
years ago, now there's more guys doing it. Of course, the gear's getting better. The training's getting better. But my only point about that is, you know, that old thing about what the mind can believe it can achieve.
Absolutely.
I've seen that with a lot of older lifters, and most of us aren't slowing down. We might slow down on the volume or some of the crazy lifts, but we're all still doing it to the best of our ability based on injuries, based on time too. We're all, you know, got other things going on in our lives, but
yeah.
Yeah,
if you
got to keep the resistance training's got to keep going. And by the way, that's not me talking. I deal with a lot of people in my business life that are in the medical field.
Absolutely.
And they'll all tell you, and they do themselves, a lot of resistance training, whether that's you're doing farmer's walks, whether you're doing, you know, regular traditional lifts, whether you're just knocking out, you know, push-ups and sit-ups and, you know, anything that's moving against gravity is good at all ages, certainly. But, you know, as you well know, being a trainer at your level, I mean, at any age, it's important. But at my age, it's that much more important.
And I wanted to point out why it's more important at your age, because the decline increases. You can decline faster, right? So that's why when people get older, one fall, and that's when you're more likely to die if you break a hip,
yeah.
Right? And so that decline is faster, whether it's losing muscle, whether it's injury, you know, whether it's breaking an ankle when you step off of a curb. So it's super important to keep that routine going, because if you don't use it, you lose it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Definitely, man. So I'm going to acknowledge some of these comments, and we're going to keep it going. And, hey, listen, we are killing y'all. Me and John are killing y'all today. We drop a bomb today. John, I got a lot of sounds here, John. I hope that's okay with you, man. We play a lot of sounds, all right? Wicked Scorpion said, yeah, catch the replay. Appreciate you joining, CC. About to get a workout in after the live stream. Hope we can get you hyped for the workout. Good evening, Marsha. Welcome, John. I thought you were talking about me since my name is John. No, we're not talking about you, buddy.
Nope.
Mona's a vegan, so hey, Mona, feel free to ask some vegan questions in here for John while we got him here. His Leave Nothing to Chance podcast is really good, and guess what, Jenny? I'll be on there after this episode one of these days.
Yep.
Diabetes is the rich man's disease. What you think about that, John? You heard that before?
Yeah, you know, thank you for saying that. You're absolutely right. I mean, if you look at you know, historically, like the kings of England, they were always extremely overweight and extremely overfed, and the peasant in the field that was doing the farming, that was living on root vegetables, for example, you know, your beets, your potatoes, your carrots, you know, things that you can, you know, grow in the ground, they were living longer lives than the people that they were serving by far. And why is that, right? Once again,
that's crazy.
They weren't eating that stuff. And, you know, I look today, I mean, I see so many people that have money and they're poisoning themselves with the wrong foods, with processed foods, with saturated foods, with too much salt, too much sugar. Reason I went vegan, and I only did this a year ago, January 1st of last year, I did this. I was vegetarian for 7 years, but I was what I call a junk vegetarian. And my vegan friend on here probably knows what I'm talking about. But I did it.
I think I know too.
I was having I had both I had stem cells in both my hips last Christmas.
Oh wow!
For Christmas, and I said, you know what? A, I want to lose more weight. I want to get down. I was about 265 then. I wanted to get down to 240. I'm 6'3", so I want to get my weight down. But second to that, I kept reading so much about, you know, people who were fruitarians. And I'm not I'm not 100% fruitarian, by the way. I am 100% vegan, but I still eat some vegetables. I still think there's some value to vegetables. But
absolutely.
But I went pretty much raw vegan, and occasionally I'll eat a little bit of cooked food if I'm out somewhere. You know, cooked food being cooked vegetables. I haven't eaten meat in over 8 years. Fish, nothing that's got a mom or a dad have I consumed in 8 years. Proud to say that. I think it's part of my energy level at this age too. I mean, I get up, at, you know, most days 4:30, 5 o'clock. I try to be at the gym by 5:30. Some days it's six. I do an international business. So sometimes I have phone calls I got to make to Germany or to England early in the morning, but I'm an early riser. And here's another thing. I think you're going to find most successful people with their health and with their business are early risers. You know, they're not laying in bed till 10 o'clock in the morning. Even if you're self-employed, they're up, they're doing stuff, they're moving the body. And that's my time of the day. Like, I'm married, I've got three kids. My kids are all grown, but two of them are going to college. They still live at home. And that's my time of the day. Like, I get up and put my dogs out, get ready to go. And it's just like, you know, I'm off. And it's my time to do what I need to do, you know, which is to train. And I also want to get there early so I'm not under the constraints of, wow, I got my first meeting at 8 o'clock. I got to be home. Say, hey, if I'm there at 5:30, I got plenty of time to train, do my cold water therapy, do my sauna therapy, you know, get a good shower, get some food in me. And then, you know, then I go attack the day after that.
I think a lot of people mess up because they look at, so you got have your wife, your kids are grown now, but let's just say somebody who has kids that aren't grown. You got your wife, your kids, you got work. Right. A lot of people will look at it as they're being selfish by giving themselves that time. And it's not that you're being selfish. You can't even be the best. You can't be the best John for your family if you don't give yourself that time. You agree with that?
Absolutely. And let me make 2 points on that if I can. One, by me being selfish, I'm being selfless. And what do I mean by that? My health continuing to be good. I want to know my grandkids. I don't have grandkids yet. Okay. My son's probably getting married next year. Okay. I want to know my grandkids, but I want to be able to play with my grandkids. I want to be able to take them to the park. I want to be able to play ball.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Teach them all that stuff where when I'm gone, they got real memories, not, well, some old man sitting in a chair all shriveled up and hurting all the time. So by being selfish, I'm being selfless for my family. That's number one.
I agree.
And number two, my kids have grown up with a good role model. My oldest daughter lives in Los Angeles. She trains 6 days a week. My son's at the gym around his school schedule. Okay. Yep. But he's at the gym some mornings as early as I am, depending on his class schedule when he goes to class. The other 2 days a week that his classes are early, he's there late afternoon. So he's always training, keeping himself in shape. He was a real good hockey player when he was younger. He played at a high level in Canada.
Yep.
But I'm real thankful that he's continued. But he'll say to me all the time, hey, Dad, I know I'm going to walk in the gym. You're going to be there training.
Hey, your kids.
A good role model.
That's a great role model. And your kids do what you do. They're going to follow what you do. They're not going to follow what you say. Right. You can talk about getting better and elevating. But if your kids don't see you do it, what's the chance of them doing it? So they following right on your footsteps. That's beautiful, man. It's definitely beautiful. Yep. I'm going to get through the rest of these comments. We're going to keep it going, man. There are plenty. There are people my age, early 30s, who just stopped working out at the college and look and feel like they're in their 40s. Yeah, I'll be 32 next Tuesday. I'll be 32 in 7 days. And I tell you, man, so many of my peers just gave up. They just threw the towel in. It's sad. It's sad. We got so much more life to live, you know. One of my goals is to hit 405 pounds for the bench press in my lifetime. I'm at you're at 365. I'm at 335, so I'm right behind you. Hope to still be lifting 30 years from now when I'm in my 60s. That's really impressive. You will, Jenny. I'm turning 50 on St. Patrick's Day, and my bench press is nothing close to these guys. Time to step it up. Got to raise the bar. And Mike is in the gym at 4 a.m. Absolutely, man. So
I like that.
Absolutely. All right, John. So fitness builds. This is my opinion. I feel like fitness builds your business skills, right? You have discipline and consistency. So can you talk about how your daily workouts mirror your business habits and the power of just showing up nonstop, right? Just like you show up for your business, you showing up for the gym, whether you feel like it in business or whether you feel like it in the gym or not, you're getting the shit done. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, first of all, discipline is discipline. Whether you're disciplined in your business, okay, or you're disciplined in the gym, they go hand in hand. They work hand in hand. If you're disciplined in your home life, okay, yep. If you're disciplined in your faith, if you're disciplined in your self-development, if you're reading constantly, for example, or listening to great podcasts like this, for example, okay, is a consistency that happens. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't run a marathon and train once. Okay. Yep. I mean, you, how do you run a marathon, right? You build up to it. I never ran a marathon, by the way, but I have friends that have. You build up to it. Well, it's the same thing in business, but you got to be consistent. And it's the same thing in the gym, right? You can't show up, once a week. I'm going to be here 3 hours. I'm going to bench. I'm going to deadlift. I'm going to squat. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
That's where they mess up.
No way. You'll be there one day. You'll be sore for three. And then you'll dread going back and you'll become, what you certainly know, right? You see people around the first of the year, the gym's packed. You got to park the car down the street.
Yeah.
By this time in February, it's like, what spot should I take in front, right? And it doesn't matter what time of the day is. And I think what happens with people is that they forget that everything in life to be successful, you have to be consistent. You're not going to do it all in one day. You got to be consistent, right, with all of these things. I've built these businesses that I've built all over the world. And you start out and it's like, wow, day at a time, brick at a time, process by process. Now, that with experience, just like the gym. Maybe you've been maybe one of your listeners right now, you've been out of the gym. Maybe you've been injured. Maybe you've been sick. Maybe you've been going through some personal stuff. It happens.
Yep. Happens to everybody.
Well, so when you get back there, first step, get back there. Second step, when you get back there, realize once again, day at a time. It's a process. It's like building a building, right? You watch a building be built, right? It's built from the bottom up. It's the same thing with our health. It's the same thing with any business. It's a gradual process. Be patient with it and you'll get results. If you're impatient with it, I think people who quit training, I think it's a number of things, but I would say the number one thing in my experience when I see somebody disappear from the gym and then you run into them somewhere.
And they're 50 pounds heavier.
I haven't been in the gym in a while. I still got my membership. Okay, that's good. That's first step, but you're paying for something you're not using. That's bad. But a lot of times it's that they got out of the consistency. They got sick. They had something happen at work. They had some life circumstance. And to get out of that habit, you just got to get back in the habit. And I'm not saying it's easy, okay? I mean, I went about – when I retired from playing judo at 51 – I had my kids staggered age wise. My oldest is now 30 and my youngest is 20. So I had my kids, they had gotten involved in hockey and figure skating. So all of a sudden my sports day was taking them to train.
Yep.
And I went about 3 years. I wouldn't say I didn't train, but I gained a bunch of weight. I ate a bunch of crap. My diet sucked. My health wasn't good. And what happened with me was a wake up call.
But we need the wake up call.
Exactly.
Sometimes it takes that.
I was bringing my daughter Grace up the stairs and I was carrying her, and it was a summer day. It was like July or August and super hot.
How old was she at this time?
She was a baby. So she was maybe one or two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's maybe even further back. It was probably, let's see, I competed if I was 51. I was probably late 40s but I wasn't training hard anymore. Like my body was too shot. And yep. I was walking upstairs with her and like I'm talking like 20 stairs, by the way. I'm not talking like I wasn't climbing people. Like it was like, it should have been nothing, right?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of out of breath. And I'm going, man, like 4 or 5 years ago, I'm fighting 300-pound guys every weekend, and I'm in great shape, and I'm running 6 miles 3 times a week, and I mean, I'm hitting a treadmill, and my cardio's, even though I was a big guy, my cardio's high. I'm doing farmer's walks. All of a sudden, I backed off because I'm like, well, hey, now I'm a dad, and I'm an older dad on top of it. And because of that, all of a sudden, I had that wake-up call. And I got on the scale. I was 333 pounds.
The heaviest 6'3"?
Yeah, the heaviest I ever. The heaviest I ever competed at was about 305. In judo, you're a heavyweight's a heavyweight. I mean, you're 240 pounds. Everybody's a heavyweight, but you're 220 or 500. There's no weight limit. In wrestling now, in college, they put a weight limit in at 264. But there's generally heavyweight's heavyweight, right? Like it's like power. Heavyweight's heavyweight, right? I mean, if you're over 308 pounds in powerlifting, you're a heavyweight, whether you're 309 or 500.
Yep.
And anyway, so that being the case, because I was still competing some, I was like, I for whatever reason, I hadn't stepped on the scale in a while. I was like, man, this is not good. 333 pound people die.
Yeah.
So then I started making the changes. And then just because of all of the inflammation in my body, I decided one day, okay, I was actually eating a cheeseburger, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to go vegetarian for one day. One day, I'm just not going to eat meat, not going to eat fish, I'll eat pasta or something. And it was a Saturday, and I did. And I felt pretty good the next morning. I was like, let me go another day. And then I went about 2 weeks. And then I was at the gym one morning, I'm walking on the treadmill because I couldn't run, I was too fat. And I see a documentary called Forks Over Knives.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about becoming vegetarian. And I'm not saying everybody on your call needs to be vegetarian, by the way. People, you pick your own way, but stay consistent with whatever it is. Don't be, one thing I've learned, don't be bouncing around. You can't be vegan today, carnivore tomorrow, keto the next.
You got to stick with something. You got to stick with something.
Because your digestion gets all kinds of screwed up if you bounce around. But anyway, make a long story short on that was I realized both as an athlete and also that if I was going to be around for the kids, I couldn't be walking around at that weight. You know, and I started getting back to the gym, getting back gradually to lifting, you know, somewhat on the mat, but not a whole lot because, frankly, I couldn't do a lot of cardio on the mat because of my hips. So I was like, let me find some things, started walking a lot. And, you know, just it was a process. And, you know, it took me a couple of years to start to get my stride and kind of get back to where I used to be as a competitive athlete. And then I started powerlifting just for fun, really. I just started to the bench for fun with Mike Womack and some other guys here locally. And then, you know, started to compete some and had some reasonable success in the sport. But I didn't do it for the sport. I did it for the activity. But everything I do, I turn into a workout. Whether I'm at the gym, whether I'm taking a walk, whether I do what I call a little micro workout, you know, for example, like in the house here, I've got some kettlebells in one room. In another room, I've got these old, they're like, I forget what they call these things. You'll know what I mean. They're like bowling pins. They're like thin at the top. You grab them and they're heavy at the bottom and you just swing them, good for your shoulders and all that. I've got one of these plates now that you stand on. It's kind of cool. I got a yoga. Like my point is I don't have to go to the gym to get a little bit of exercise throughout the course of the day. Back of my house, I've built a crazy gym. I've accumulated stones, cinder blocks. I've got some old poles, believe it or not, and I got them in an area of my driveway. So if I want to go out at, you know, we finish our call here and I'd say, you know, I just want to go move my body.
Yep.
I'll go out and I'll do some curls and some farmer's walks with some cinder blocks. I can get them real easy. And I'll just do them. I'm not doing them to get my arms big. I'm just doing them to move my body, move my shoulders, move my biceps, you know, and just to move my body and get another 10 or 15 minute little workout in, strength workout in. That just, once again, helps me to relax, helps me to feel fit, and helps me to, once again, get that synovial fluid to move in my body that makes me, you know, not only heal and recover, but also feel better.
Well, that's what happens when you prioritize fitness. Now you know it's become part of your day. So if you don't get that movement in, you're not even going to feel like yourself. So that's super impressive in your 60s, man. And so one thing I wanted to highlight is when people struggle with in fitness is the mental toughness and the resilience you get. So you're 64. So you've built up so much mental toughness over the years. And some of these people, they'll have the mental toughness in business or at work, right? So why do you think people can't translate that into the fitness side, but they have it in other areas of their life, even with the kids? Whatever it is, you have to have some level of mental toughness, but people struggle to bring that over to the fitness side. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think it's a couple of things. I think some people think that they're going to hurt themselves if they push themselves.
Okay.
And I listen to Dave Goggins a lot. I don't know if you ever listened to David Goggins.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, and he is so mentally tough and smart. But some of the things that he says, okay, about the mental fitness, right, with a lot of expletives, okay. you don't listen to David on the way to church. Let's put it that way.
But that's not the time to listen to that.
No, but man, he is such a spiritual being, though. Okay. Yep. And what he's saying is so true. But I think to answer your question, I think what it is people think somehow they're going to hurt themselves if they push themselves. Mm-hmm. So once again, do it gradually, right? If you're going to run a marathon, you don't go out and run 26 miles today. There's a way to do it. There's professionals like yourself in the fitness industry that can say, hey, you know, you build up to it. I think the people I know run marathons when they're preparing for like the Dallas Marathon here every year, Sundays, their heavy day where they'll go out sometimes, they'll run 10 to 13 miles, for example. Okay. Yep. There's a methodology that's already been established successfully by lots and lots of other people and coaches that can coach it. Hire a fitness trainer like yourself. Okay. Even if it's short term and you say to the trainer, hey, I'm going to train with you for 90 days because maybe that's all I can afford, but you got to get me back on track.
Yep. Okay.
And here's the thing. If you're paying for it, you're going to show up.
You better show up.
And if you're late, you're still paying for it. Okay. If you got the trainer from 8 to 8:45, you show up at 8:30. He's got somebody else at 9 o'clock, right? Obligated to pay, right? So keep your appointments. But here's the real thing. Keep your commitment to yourself.
I agree. Okay?
Like I said, being selfish is selfless. If you've got a family, and even if you don't have a family for that matter, even if you're divorced or maybe the kids are grown or maybe you're my age and you know, maybe your spouse has passed away and you know, whatever your circumstance is, this is your time to take care of your body and your mind because they are attached, right? Yep. You know, Hippocrates many years ago wrote the fact that our stomach is our second brain. Now, you wouldn't put a bunch of toxic stuff in your brain on purpose, right? You wouldn't put processed food in your brain, for example.
I like that. I like that. I like that.
You know, I'm not going to put a bunch of crap in my brain because, well, it's my brain. I mean, it's the most important thing, right? I mean, like, I think with it, I drive with it, I see with it, I listen with it, all that, right? So why are you putting junk in your body? Why are you putting stuff that you know is not good in your body, right? That's your fuel, right? So don't put junk in your body. Now, I'm not saying, hey, you know, Christmas, you don't have a cookie, and, you know, your birthday, you don't have a piece. I'm not saying be that stringent. You don't have to be. But if you fall off the wagon, okay, get back on immediately. Don't beat yourself up, okay? If you go out and you eat, you know, 4 slices of pizza on the weekend, right? A lot of your listeners in the Northeast, you got great pizza in the Northeast. Yeah, right?
Absolutely. Get back to the gym right after.
Get that water in you because you got to get the salt out of you. You got to get the salt from the pizza, for example, okay? But just work through it and don't beat yourself up. And more importantly, don't repeat the same mistake twice. The reason I'm able to be fit is I you know, look, I have days when I get my old truck. I got an old truck I take to the gym, and I got farmers walk bars in there. I got kettlebells. I got shot puts, discuses. I got all kinds of stuff, right? Because if I have to do stuff at home, I can, or sometimes I go to a school train. But my point is this. There's times I get in that truck, 5:30 in the morning, it's cold, and I'm thinking, man, it'd be nice to just go back and lay in bed. But it's like, no, can't do it, man. Can't do it.
Gotta work.
Because if I do it once, what happens the next morning? It just becomes that
easier to do it again.
Success in anything in life is repetition, repetition, repetition. And after a while, I just do it automatic now. I'm up. I get my hydration in my kitchen. I'm gone to the gym. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, this is good. But my gym's 3 miles from my front door. I mean, I could walk there if I had to, you know. But my point is, just you just got to do it and do it and do it. And after a while, it's just going to become, once again, a second brain, if you will, where it's like, hey, I go there automatically. My car knows where it's going, you know.
Yep. You said something about the stomach being the second brain, and people, well, you wouldn't put toxins in your brain, but I think in America specifically, it's such a lack of education on what is toxic, right? So a lot of people don't understand that the fast food is toxic. These snacks, these packages, this processed stuff is toxic. So I think, you know, people like yourself and people like me, we need to, you know, continue to spread the message out there. What we're doing is super important. I look at us like the modern day superheroes, right? Because we're so unhealthy. We got such a high percentage of obese people. We got a high percentage of older people that think they're not supposed to work out. So I just wanted to throw that in there before we move on to the next part of the podcast. Let me get some of these comments out the way too. I don't know about veganism, but definitely no red meats. And if that works for you, that's fine. You know, that's fine. We're not trying to convert anybody here. Do what's best for you, but just make sure you stick with it. The yo-yo dieting, exactly. And I guess you were talking about you have Indian clubs.
Thank you.
Yep. I need to build this fun, crazy gym soon. Yeah, I need to get a backyard gym too. It's all about context. Where a lot of people go wrong, they do crash diets, extreme fasting, or have unrealistic nutritional goals. They are always starting but never finish or achieve their goals. Absolutely. And motivation becomes discipline. Absolutely. All right, moving on, John. Now, let's talk about morning routine or routines in general, not just morning routine, routines in general. Do you think that people should keep and I know there's always curveballs in life, right? So you can't necessarily work out at the same time every day if something pops up. But do you recommend people work out at the same time every day? So maybe even if it's just Monday through Friday or Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 3 times a week, 4 times a week, whatever. Should people keep the same routine?
If you're training and you're not a competitive athlete, yes.
Okay.
If you're a competitive athlete and you're like, when I was playing judo, sometimes I'd be, you know, I lived on the East Coast for the most part or down here in Texas. If I knew I was going overseas to fight, okay, or I was going to the West Coast, for example, I would try to modify. If I was like, okay, I'm going to have a fight at 10 a.m., let's say, in the United Kingdom, okay, that was 5 a.m. in New York, okay, so I was living in New York then when I was doing a lot of competition. I would make sure I would find somebody. Nobody liked me doing this, by the way, but I would find somebody I could train with at 5 a.m. Why? Because I wanted my body to respond. So when I got over there, I wouldn't be like the time difference. In other words, well, I'm normally asleep right now.
Yeah. Right?
I didn't want that. So you adjust. If you guys know this, if you're a professional athlete or a serious amateur athlete, you know what I'm talking about. But if you're just like a regular guy, regular gal, try to do it within the same window. I mean, you know, maybe it's 5:30. You know, one day maybe it's 6. Another day it might be 5, depending on your schedule. Maybe you get up a few minutes late. You got to put the dog out. I mean, the life stuff, you know. You hit a little traffic, you know, depending on where the gym is.
Yep.
But, yeah, I am definitely a creature of habit, and I do believe that those early morning workouts set the tone for the day. But once again, if you can, if you're somebody that for whatever reason, work-wise, you have to train after work, just do it. Have your stuff in the car. Here's a mistake I think people make, and I think you'd agree with this. Don't go home. Home is where the distractions are, right? Whatever it is.
Okay? And the bed.
Exactly. Put the stuff in the car. Maybe even get dressed before you leave work. Maybe dress in the men's room or ladies' room at work. So now you're in gym mind.
Yep.
Now you made that transition from the work day. Okay, to your time at the gym, whatever that is, 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, whatever the time that you're going to train is. Hey, now I'm heading to my time of the day to take care of my body and my soul, okay,
yes,
and my mind. And put yourself in that mind. And by the way, one other thing that I've had to do, because my schedule can get crazy, especially when I've got, you know, business overseas, have a discipline to have those same times.
Yep.
Okay. And once again, there are times you're going to get up and, you know, a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, are back where you are on the East Coast this time of year. Hey, you wake up and there's snow on the ground. It's a little cold.
Man.
Boy, back under the covers. And I'm just going to tell you, you do that once. Once is okay, not the end of the world. Twice is a mistake. Three times is a habit. Bad habits, like good habits, are really hard to break. A good habit of going to the gym consistently is a great habit. A bad habit is saying, well, the bed is warm. Gee, my wife's making me breakfast. It's my kid's birthday.
Happens. Any excuse.
Yeah, well, any reason, and all of a sudden, before you know it, boy, it's really nice to just stay in bed this morning. Well, once you do that a couple times, you got to start all over again. You don't want to do that.
All done, man. Let's get in these comments, and we're going to keep it going. I think we got Wicked Scorpion says, I've worked out at different times of the day, but I prefer working out in the evening or early morning. Yep, just do what works for you. I like to work out first thing in the morning unless something comes up. It's a great way to start the day. My wife got her gym bag with her and changed when she's about to get off work. That's what John just said. Pack the bag the night before. Definitely don't go home until you are done. So much wisdom in this episode. Thanks, you guys. Of course, excuses have your back bigger than the fridge. That absolutely. Listen, picnic table back. But... I got two more questions for you, John, and then I got a surprise for you. I kind of want to hear your take on something.
Okay.
So the first one, three actionable tips for entrepreneurs, high performers, high achievers to stay on their fitness grind.
Okay. One, I think we already touched on it, but you got to get up early.
Yep.
Okay. You got to get up early. And your body, your body has a clock that comes from, I believe in God. Okay. But whether you believe in infinite design or however you think you were created, your body has a clock in it. Okay.
Yep.
And like in India, right? One of the oldest cultures in the world, they certainly believe this. Okay. Part of that clock is that 90 minutes before sun break, not sunrise, sun break, when the sky, the sky's kind of lightening up in the morning, right? Like this time of year here in Dallas, that's about 6:30 in the morning.
Yep.
And so about 90 minutes before, which would be 5 a.m., is when the good thoughts start coming in your head, especially if you're in business, okay, as an entrepreneur. All of a sudden, I get these great ideas. 5 o'clock in the morning, I got this total clarity.
I'm the same way.
That's the way we're designed, believe it or not. So give into it and get your butt out of bed, okay? Because that's the time to write down whatever those good ideas are and then start your process of getting to the gym. So I would say that's number one,
yep.
For entrepreneurs or for regular people. But for entrepreneurs, certainly get up early. Every successful person I know, and I know guys that are billionaires, by the way. I've worked with some of them. I did an acquisition for one a few years ago.
Okay.
I would get texts from this guy 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. This guy has more money than he could ever spend in a lifetime. 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, this man was texting me. I'm like, well, he was up early. And then I talked to him today about his routine. He's like, yeah, I'm at the gym at 3. So, so there you go on that. That's number one. Number two, once again, be selfish to be selfless. That sounds like a contradiction, right? Because that's two different things. No, it's not. It's the same thing. You're being selfish to take care of your good health because – what good are you laying in a hospital bed or worse, the morgue? What good are you to your family?
I love it, man.
Maybe you don't have a family. Maybe you don't even have a family. What good are you to your coworkers? What good are you to your friends? What good are you to your church group? What good are you to the community that you live in, that you're part of, if you're sick or debilitated?
Yep. Okay?
So once again, being selfish, you're really being selfless. Because you're preserving this wonderful gift you've been given, okay, to preserve it as long as humanly possible. And training is just, there's just too much evidence-based science that supports it. Like, we're not making this stuff up. Like, you know, fitness is longevity. And then the third thing is just for all levels, okay, especially for women as well, resistance training is key. You got to lift something. You got to move something. You know, some of the strongest guys I ever competed against never necessarily lifted a weight, but they grew up on farms, like dairy farms, for example, where they were carrying pails of milk or pails of feed, or sometimes, you know, they'd be carrying animals on their back. They developed these tremendous grip strengths, right?
Look
at the work that Dan Buettner's done with the Blue Zones, right, around the world. Some of the longest lived people, they're physical all day. Okay, they're farmers for the most part, right? They're moving up. Once again, they're up early. A farmer can't get up late. The animals need to eat, right?
Exactly.
They need to be fed. Yeah. So that would be my third point, is that resistance training is really, really important. And, you know, the Blue Zones have pointed this out. There's been tremendous amount of studies showing this. So resistance training as we get older is vitally important, but as we're younger, don't ignore it. Don't say, well, I'm gonna wait till I'm John's age to start training. No, man.
If you're
30, get to the gym, get some weights at home, get some kettlebells are cheap now. You buy a 15-pound kettlebell, they call them quads, right? But, you know, get a 15 or 20 and just leave it somewhere in your house. By the way, don't leave it where you're not going to see it. Leave it where you're going to see it, because when you see it, you know what it says? Lift me. So those would be my three. I could probably go on, but those are three I think that are kind of hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. Nah, those are perfect, man. Those are perfect. And last question before we get to the clip. As far as your protein intake as a vegan, what are your main protein sources? And how many grams do you strive for a day?
Wow, good question. Most of the time, most of my proteins come from a couple of different things. Avocados, I'm big on avocados. I eat avocados pretty much every day. I do some tofu.
Okay.
I like my tofu uncooked, of course, because I'm generally raw vegan, so I like it uncooked. I get some protein from a couple of other things. Like I use a product that actually sold for years too, called ImmuniCal, that was developed at McGill University. I use that. I eat a lot of cucumbers, believe it or not. Cucumbers have some protein.
I love cucumbers. Yep.
Love cucumbers. And especially as we get to summer, you know, in the Middle East, they're considered to be a cooling fruit, by the way. They call them over there. And you think about it, when you cut a cucumber, even if the cucumber's warm, if it's in the house and you don't have it in the fridge, it's actually cooling. So it actually cools the system. So I like that, of course. I like from a melon family. Love my honeydews. Love my watermelon. Today I ate a watermelon this big. First watermelon of the season that we were able to get in Texas. Really good. Cantaloupe. I like, and every one of these things has protein, believe it or not. I mean, I'm still able with a bench shirt. Okay. At 242 pounds, 64 years old, I'm still able to bench consistently well over 400 every Sunday. Okay. So are vegans weak? You know, that whole notion about, well, you don't eat meat. You know, where do you get your protein? Well, I get plenty of protein. Matter of fact, we're over proteinized in America. We think we got to load up on all this protein. Frankly, we don't. And as you get older, you know, not to get gross here, but believe me, your digestion's going to appreciate less meat.
Going to change. Yeah. Definitely.
Less, not only less meat, less carbs also, because the carbs also.
Definitely less carbs. Yeah. You know? Definitely less carbs.
Yeah, not only from a weight standpoint, but just from a digestive standpoint also, the carbs are just not, you know, you don't get rid of them that well. Yeah, you got. Look, all this stuff is toxic, including the fruits and vegetables. That's why you want to keep your system moving. You've got to be able to go to the bathroom. You know, one of the problems in America is so many people are constipated.
Yeah.
Because of their diet. You know, you know they eat, you know, eggs, toast, coffee for breakfast, McDonald's for lunch. They have a steak for dinner with a potato and a little tiny bit of vegetable. They go, you know, I had my vegetables. I had a cooked piece of broccoli, which means all the nutrition has been cooked out of it. And then they wonder why they can't go to the bathroom. Well, once again, not trying to be gross here, folks, but you got to move that stuff.
Talk about it.
Otherwise, it stays in your villi and it becomes a real problem as you get older. Thus, we've got all these cancers and all of these other, what we call diseases of aging, and not diseases of aging, they're diseases of lifestyle.
I agree, man. I love everything you said, man. Dropping a lot of gems. Definitely appreciate that. I even feel like at 30, you know, I can't digest some things I could do when I was 20 or 21. So I can only imagine. Let's get through these comments and we're going to get to the clip. One thing we're going to do is make the gym. I'm always sad when I miss a day or two. I can vouch. Steph is sad. That's one of my clients. She's sad when she misses the gym. I can vouch for that. Every day is training day, no excuses. My ADHD will have me go crazy if I don't go to the gym. Feel guilty and go work out on my day off to make it up. It's a punishment, making up your gym day on off day. It's called Farmer's Walk for a reason. Absolutely. I became vegan after I started seeing men with breasts and chicken breasts as big as my head. That's crazy. That's crazy, Mona. That's wild. I refuse to put those hormones and GMO foods in my body. Respect. Cucumbers taste funny. Initially the challenge I had with converting the vegan lifestyle was trying to hit my protein intake. And a lot of people do it, but they end up figuring it out. What about broccoli? You eat broccoli, John?
I eat broccoli, but I eat it raw.
Raw broccoli, okay. They're constipated and smell horrible due to eating garbage. That's factual. 4 a.m. is calling. Great episode. All right. See you tomorrow, Mike. Got to have the veggies and the soul or it will be hell when you sit on that bowl. Bars. I love it. Hey, Doug, I love it. People who constantly eat McDonald's have a certain odor. I can agree with that. Cucumber with apple cider vinegar and honey is delicious. All right, cool. So we got one clip about working out being, I guess, one of the best options for your mental health disorder. So I wanted to hear your take on this. So we're going to pull up the quick, really quickly, and then we're going to hear what you got to say about it. 1 second while I pull it up. Let's check it out.
Truthfully, and I say this with love, if you have mental health struggles and you are not exercising, what the actual fuck are you doing with your life? Honestly, what are you doing? Did you know that other countries prescribe exercise as a phase one intervention for anxiety and depression? Did you know that exercise raises circulating levels of serotonin and dopamine in the brain objectively? Like if you go for a run, you break a sweat, you go for a brisk walk, you lift some weights, mentally it is impossible not to feel a little bit better, just a little bit. And yet we want to ruminate, we want to sulk, but that is the opposite of what you should do when you're feeling like shit, okay? I implore you, if you have mental health struggles and you are not moving your body, you are not forward ambulating in some way, you are not bipedally locomoting in some form or fashion, fucking wow, what a sunset. Holy moly, I wish you could see that. You should be doing that. It isn't easy, but it is simple. Don't overcomplicate it.
Hey, that's a fire clip to me, John. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, he's 100% right. Move the body. You know, I for a number of years, I was doing some wrestling down here, and the gym I was at was owned by a guy from Iran, and another guy from Iran came over and eventually lived here, and a guy named Mohammed Akhtarbanejad, great wrestler, comes from one of the great wrestling families in Iran, where the sports like the equivalent of basketball here. I mean, everybody plays or soccer, I guess. Anyway. And he used to always say, with this very broken, funny accent, move the body, move the body, move the body. And I think about what that gentleman just said there. You got to move the body at all ages. Okay? Don't make the excuse. And once again, you know, go back to the micro workout point that I talked about a little earlier. Okay? Get some stretchy bands at home. Get something that you like to do, right? Like, you know, even if you're sitting watching TV. Throw the stretchy band on your foot. Do some light curls, right? You know, do some tricep work. Do some chest pulls. Just move your body.
Yep.
Because if you don't, your body's going to go against you if you don't continue to move it. And I got to tell you, I've had between back surgery, shoulder surgery, knee surgery.
Oh, man.
Okay, I've had every surgery imaginable, okay? I mean, if you saw me walk down the street, you'd think, wow, that guy goes to the gym. And then you see me at the gym and you go, well, wait a minute. You know, like, this dude's getting it on.
Yeah.
Okay. But my point about that is, all right, everybody needs to train. Okay. You don't want to be old before your time. And that has nothing to do with the number on your driver's license. That has to do with your attitude. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you think about the word attitude and you took it numerically with the first letter A being the one in the alphabet, right? And then the T being 20, the next T being 20, and you went through that. And just do that at home when we're done here, folks, for fun, right? Take attitude, right? You know, A1, T20, next T20, and add it up. It adds up to 100%. Now, there's a reason for that.
That's crazy.
Our lives and our health are 100% dependent on our attitude. If our attitude sucks, we don't want to train, we don't want to hurt, we don't want to sweat, whatever the reasons are, and we've all had them, okay? You got to get your attitude right because you only have one life. You're getting out of here in a box or an urn, realistically. That's just the way life works, right? Me, I'm going like that. You're going like that. Everybody listening, in case you didn't know that, I hate to tell you that bad news.
Yeah, but we learned something today.
You got to make the rules between now and that day. Mm-hmm. And how you make those rules is real simple. You get your butt to the gym. You eat right. You pass the if it's a franchise, frankly, it's garbage. Don't eat there. Okay. I mean, I know there's some healthy things that are starting to pop up now, but for the most part, if it's a franchise, just don't even think, oh, I'll just stop for coffee because all of a sudden coffee, the French fries smell good today.
Don't even get a salad there.
No. And you know what? Don't even support those businesses. And I'm pro business, believe me, and pro entrepreneur. But you know what? Those businesses know they're not doing you any good. Okay. Oh, yeah. So just find a way, and I know it's not easy, okay? And, you know, I'm talking to you with a lot of experience and a lot of years and a lot of recovery and, you know, physical recovery from a lot of things. I'm walking around and training because of the way I eat and the discipline I have going to the gym. If I did not have those things, I would be a typical 64-year-old guy who would be pissing and moaning about all the pain I'm in and how life sucks and just waiting to die. I don't want
exactly.
To Yeah. Man, I got goals. I got ambitions. I'm writing a couple of more books. I've got my podcast. I've got my regular business. I got another business my wife and I own. I've been waiting for my grandkids to come. I still got all these goals and aspirations. I'm going to Costa Rica in April for the first time in my life for my out there. I'm going to a fruit festival for a week in Costa Rica, a new place. Right? I mean, like, life is meant to be lived. But if you feel like crap, I don't care what you're doing, you're not going to enjoy it.
Not going to enjoy it.
But if you feel good, man, it's like another day. It's like seize the day. I forget the Latin term that they use in the movies, right? Whatever it is. But seize the day. Like tomorrow, if you didn't train today, okay, and now it's too late to go to the gym maybe because you got to be up early and da 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 da. Get up that hour early. You owe it to you. Don't look at it as a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. It's you being selfish to be selfless for your family. If you don't take care of you, believe me, nobody else is going to. The government's not going to. That's not their job, frankly. Okay. If your doctor's not going to. You go to him because you screwed up. Okay. At the end of the day, you take the responsibility for your health. And if you do that, man, you people know that. You guys listen to your show all the time. I mean, your listeners are good. But if you're listening for the first time, you can do it. Okay? Baby steps, maybe. Okay? Go buy a pair of sneakers. You know?
Please. Get that. Please.
You know? And just start. And just start. And you don't know where you're going to go. And don't try to do it all in 24 hours. Because you know what? If you got way overweight, you didn't get way overweight overnight. And you're not going to lose it all overnight.
No, okay? Sir.
If you've gotten unhealthy because maybe you started smoking or drinking or doing something else you shouldn't be doing, once again, maybe don't try to stop cold turkey. If you had 10 cigarettes yesterday, have 5 tomorrow and have 2 the next day and just do things gradually, okay, so you stick with them. That's the most important thing, is to stick to these health disciplines long term, right? If you're drinking too much, if you had a 6-pack last weekend, this weekend have a 3-pack, right? And maybe next weekend have a 1-pack, and maybe the next weekend, hey, try this stuff called water. It's really amazing, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about that.
It's 70% of your body, so it's really good for you. You know, but anyway, I mean, I could go on and on, but folks, you get the point. You know, like you know, you don't know how good you can feel until you feel really good. And I'm blessed that I feel really good with what I'm doing. My nutrition's working for me. My exercise is working for me. And my disciplines are working for me. And I feel good about myself. And if I feel good about myself, what can I do for other people? I can inspire them to feel good about themselves. How are we going to fix our country? It's not a Democratic solution. It's not a Republican solution. It's an us solution of telling the guy on the treadmill next to you that maybe is significantly overweight, hey, brother, you can do this. I'm all for you.
Absolutely.
I'm here every morning. If you show up, I'll get on the treadmill next to you for the first 10 or 15 minutes while I'm warming up, and I'll talk with you, okay? And I don't care if you're black, if you're white, if you're Hispanic, if you're gay, if you're straight. I can give a crap. You know what I know? You want to improve yourself like I want to improve myself, and we're here to push each other, okay? I don't care if you voted for Trump or you voted for Kamala. I don't care if you didn't vote at all. I don't care about any of that. You know what I care about? If we're going to heal our country, we got to heal each other, but we got to heal ourselves first, okay?
Absolutely.
And that's by getting in the gym, eating right, and doing everything that you're telling these folks to do on a consistent basis.
Absolutely. I preach that all the time, man. It starts with self-improvement, you know. Forget all that other stuff. You know, we at the end of the day, we all human. And I feel like that self-improvement would absolutely fix the country and a lot of the problems we got. So I'm glad you said that, man. You dropped gems on here, man. You didn't disappoint. If I thought you would disappoint, I wouldn't have you here, though, John. You know that? Let me get through these comments, and we're going to get up out of here, man. Let's see. Doug Palmer. They think Big Macs make them happy, but they really make them flappy. It definitely makes them flappy, for sure. It ain't making them muscular. Working out is therapeutic, absolutely, MD. It's good for the mind, especially having a long day from work. Feels like you're getting a monkey off your back. Yes, Seth, we got company today. Very accurate. People take fitness as a joke, but this is a serious thing. Move your body. Before Weight Watchers started pushing weight loss medicines, their slogan was move more. Oh, man, we got to do an episode on Weight Watchers, man. We got to do that. If we saw our future self as a kid looking like a sack of potatoes, I bet you would have begged our parents for a gym membership for a birthday or Christmas gift and not cake. Carpe diem. Is that the phrase you were thinking of?
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you, Jenny. Eat good, feel good, train hard, look good. Killed us 45 minutes in the gym thanks to you guys and this great content. Thank you, Jenny. And Steph gave us the fire. John, hell of an episode, man. Appreciate you joining. And just let people know, you give some closing thoughts if you want to. Let people know where they can find you. I don't LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever you have, let them know. And plug your books as well.
Sure. Well, my name, johnsolider.com. You can reach me through that. My podcasts, I have a show called Leaving Nothing to Chance, like one of my books, which is called Leave Nothing to Chance. The podcast is called Leaving Nothing to Chance. But
good show too.
You can also just get me on John_ my last name Solider on YouTube, because we kind of gravitated towards doing more stuff on YouTube now. Every Wednesday we have a book series, believe it or not. Like I've got all sorts of interviews on there. They have 180 interviews roughly of different people, but I'm interviewing different authors on Wednesdays. But like 4, 5, or 6 times per author, where I take a different chapter of their book and we discuss that chapter. So, you're welcome to listen to that. Tomorrow's on Walt Disney. I didn't know some of the stuff Walt Disney had to overcome. He almost went broke 4 or 5 times when he was Walt Disney super successful. So like he's got a great story as an entrepreneur and as Walt Disney. And then my other book called Moving Up. And this book's really, if you're in network marketing or insurance, real estate, you know, stuff where you're selling direct. I got a lot of stuff in here, different things like the 10 penny principle, which is real simple. It's a habit again, like we're talking about with fitness. Take 10 pennies, stick them in your left pocket. Every time you talk to a prospect, you move one to your right pocket. So I got kind of tidbits like that. This one's more a self-development book. This one's more kind of a business book. And I've got a few more coming out that are going to be e-books that we'll advertise on the John Solider website. And you're welcome to all of that, folks. And if I can help you with anything, I mean, just, you know, hey, I'm a constant cheerleader, as you can probably tell. I believe in people. I love people. People make the world go round. And you know, the ones with a good attitude, I love to be around. The ones with a bad attitude, I'm not wild about being around. But sometimes you can help that bad attitude by just saying, hey, I believe in you, sir, or I believe in you, ma'am. I don't know your name. Okay. But I'm happy you're at the gym. I'm happy you're shopping at Sprouts or Whole Foods or places like that, or your local farmer's market, you're doing the right thing for yourself. And I just encourage them and tell them, hey, and if they're significantly overweight, I tell them, hey, been where you've been. Okay. You know, and if they're not, and they just are saying, yeah, you know, I hate the gym. Let me tell you how to love the gym. Just start coming and you'll find a great community. Normally any gym in the country, any gym in the world, I've been in gyms in 62 countries. I've never been in a gym yet where I wasn't around generally positive people trying to improve themselves. So once again, it's a self-development attitude type of place to be around positive people that are trying to do the right thing. You're not going to find that at the bar. You're not going to find that at the strip club. You're not going to find that at those places. You're going to find that at the gym. Generally, that most of the folks there are there for the right reasons, just like you're there for the right reasons.
Absolutely, man. Hey, appreciate you, John. I'm going to go ahead and close out. I'm going to put you in the green room for a second, and then we'll talk after.
Good.
All right. So, hey, appreciate y'all watching, man. Hell of an episode. John was fire. Go check him out. Follow my social media. See Marty Fit on Instagram. See Marty Fit on TikTok. See Marty Fit on X. And see Marty Fit on YouTube. You watching right now. So subscribe to the page on YouTube. Share with a friend. And you know the motto. If you don't want to unbig your back, don't watch the podcast. If you don't want to get rid of your belly, don't watch the podcast. If you don't want to get better, self-improve mentally, physically, spiritually, don't watch the podcast. Appreciate y'all watching. I'll be live again on here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. We got a full show again, another full hour. And I'll catch y'all tomorrow. And hit the like button. Because this is a great episode. Hit the like button. Shout out to the Playback Gang. Playback Gang, y'all hit the like button. Catch y'all tomorrow. We out of here. If you don't want to unbig your back, don't watch the podcast. If you don't want to get rid of that belly, don't watch the podcast. If you ain't trying to get better, self-improve, don't watch the podcast. Best Fitness Podcast out. We out of here.